My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Well, Emily, welcome to round three.
I think it's great we broke it up this time.
I do too, because you all should know we're still talking.
We're going into hour number three.
I was like, can you keep going? We're both like, we just need to go to the bathroom. Now we're back. Yeah. We're like, we're ready.
We're back.
Yeah. We professional talkers, I would say. We both could be professional talkers. And it's so fun for both of us to share this with you. Like, we talk about this already privately, but we both feel like what we are sharing is meant for more than just ourselves. And if our lives can be an example, we don't talk about this kind of stuff, like how you stay organized at home, how you survive hard things, how you transition through unexpected, like people just really don't talk about this. And I am such a forward motion focused person. I'm always thinking about what is next. I'm always chasing the next future version of myself. I'm not competing with anybody else except for myself and what my potential and my capacity is. Like, that is what I'm always chasing. And that's what excites me and lights me up. Like, redoing the same thing over and over again, boring. Like, I just don't even want to do it. So when I think about, and when I started Organize 365, and once I learned that organization was a learnable skill, so I started the podcast. My goal was never to have Lisa Woodruff organization in everybody's house. It was never to design a product line that would make everyone's house look like my house. Like, I am a person who wants significance, who wants impact, and who wants everyone's uniqueness to be manifest in the world. And I think that's because I'm a teacher. Like, that's the teacher in me that sees the individuality and the uniqueness of each student and what they bring to the collaborative collective whole. And I know that when we come together as a collective whole, we want all different kinds of people to be speaking into whatever we're creating. Like, where two people are gathered, Jesus is always there. Like, and so to me, nothing is ever individualized unless you're like sitting by yourself doing a puzzle. Like, when there are two people together, something new is created. It's not one plus one. It's always three. And so with that lens in my mind, really my whole entire life, I have really thought through, what does it mean to live to be an organized person? Now, of course, I've created a Sunday basket. I've created the Friday workbox. Like, I've created a few key physical products, but not very many, really. You could just use those slash pockets in a million different ways, but I don't sell a million different ways to use it. I just sell a few key office supplies when applied to your life circumstance will exponentially organize your internal thoughts externally, which gives you the mental bandwidth to have your brain back to think. And when you think, you will do what you're uniquely created to do. Now, I want to take a little caveat here about the what are you uniquely created to do? Because people always say to me, well, I can't find what I'm uniquely created to do. I don't know what that thing is. And I've been thinking about this recently because that's the Embrace experience helps you with that as well. It's not so much that it's a thing or it's one outcome. If you are a person who's always seeking professional self-development, as the entire Organized 365 community is, that's just the kind of people we are. You're always leveling up. You're always thinking about what is next. You're always thinking about how what you're doing can contribute and lift up others around you. That's just the kind of people we are. What you're uniquely created to do is always evolving, changing, and growing. And it's not necessarily a thing. It's your being and your impact and how you resonate with others. So if Firestone was what Emily was uniquely created to do, then we would be saying this is all a failure. And then what's the point? But it's not. It was the next step into the next evolution of who she is uniquely created to be. And so when we were talking on Friday night, you started talking about the habits that you're putting in your life this year and the personal work that you have been doing and the impact that you want to have that has nothing to do with your job or your personal life, but your life experiences and how you can help other people who are going through those life experiences who are not going to want to, but they're going to go through them. And how can you make it better for them? And that is, before you share, I just, you know, I say our mission all the time and people are probably like, how did she come up with that? So the Organized 365 mission is to help you get organized so that you have more time so you can do what you're uniquely created to do. So my only goal for myself is to show you the invisible work that you're doing so you can decide if you want to keep doing it or not, organize it, habitualize it, declutter it, whatever, so that you can get time. When you externalize everything that you have in your brain into slash pockets and you stop making to-do lists and you just pick out 2 to 3 things to do a day and you don't have overwhelmed, you're going to get time. You're going to get physical time and you're going to get mental time. And once you have physical and mental time, you must then wrestle with what you're supposed to be doing on the planet. And that's not my job. I'm just creating that experience so that then you have the bandwidth to then press into what you're uniquely created to do, which has nothing to do with Organized 365. We're just creating enough time and space for you to have to wrestle with that. And Emily, what you are contemplating and changing is fascinating. So I just want to go ahead and turn it over to you.
All right. So a couple things I was thinking of while you were sharing. One, it's funny you say I'm not in competition with anyone else. I just shared that on Facebook. There was a little, you know, there's those things that come up with sayings on them or poems or whatever. And it said, never intimidated, never jealous, something else. I'm only in competition with myself and who I was yesterday. And I love that, you know, and I think especially for women, that's really rare. So I love that you shared that. And like I said, I'm glad that we're breaking this up. I just want to say real quick before I forget at the end, I was blown away when we did this the last time, and it was a 2.5-hour podcast, that anyone would listen to the whole thing, let alone many people who did, and some of them listened more than once. And the feedback that I got the most overwhelmingly was, thank you for being so transparent and vulnerable. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, is there any other way? Like, I don't, okay. Like, it's the truth. It's my reality. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. Like you were saying, I think when bad things happen, what you do with those bad things that happen help you be able to be a light for someone else when they go through a similar bad thing, which I think is a lot of what this podcast is becoming today, or these three podcasts is becoming today. And then it's not totally wasted that we lost our dad, or that I lost my dog, or that I lost my job, or whatever it is, you know, what I'm going to share a little bit later. You know, those things, those bad things happen. What do you do with those bad things in order to make it a constructive experience for yourself and then share that with others? There was a thing on Facebook this morning that said, I love it when people escape the fire and go running back in with buckets for those who are still consumed. You know what I mean? And using that constructively. So thank you for listening to all of us, all of our talking. And I just want to say vulnerability and transparency are just kind of what we do.
Yeah. Apparently you and I don't know how to be private. Not right. Just too free flowing. I will say though, before you start to share, this is probably not a conversation for small children. And if you are triggered by domestic violence, would that be correct? Domestic violence, then you may want to skip over the rest of this podcast.
And it won't be gory. I just want to share my truth about that and where I've been able to come. I can't even tell you what year that was, but it's probably been a decade or so since that happened. And we'll get to that. But I also just want to say, you know, you were sharing in the beginning about leveling up and everybody in Organized 365 levels up. So, you know, you had already gone to bed Friday night, but I was still doing my music therapy and sending them to you on Voxer. And there's one that my friend Lindsay has sent me in the past. We like to share music together. And that's one way that even though we've kind of grown apart in a lot of ways, we both love the Lord. And so we share worship music together. And then also we just love music and she's always got new ones I never heard. And so anyway, Carrie Underwood, the champion, was one that she had sent me that I love. And it's ludicrous too, which I like some rap singers. And so I had come in here that night and got out my Embrace workbook from this year that I worked through when I was in California with the family. And look through here to see if it was already in your book, because I didn't want to share one. And I know you might not do Embrace again, but I had left it open to level up sitting on my thing right when I sat down to do this podcast. So interesting how those kind of things happen. So I'll just start with where I am in this job and then how that's kind of, you know, how God is using that to kind of lead me to expanding out into my personal life as well. And that's kind of a reassurance to me that this is the right place to be. So when I applied for this job, I wouldn't say that I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally the job I have to have. It's going to be perfect for me. I can't wait to sell ID. You know what I mean? I was just like, well, I mean, it's in Kent. They had a lot of nice benefits. I knew I was going to be able to do the job. And so I applied and I interviewed with the girl who ended up hiring me, and she was really nice. She was friendly. She was down to earth. She was real. She was genuine. And so I liked that. I liked her. And then I did a little research on the company and the owner. And, you know, I always connect with people on LinkedIn when I meet them at networking events or anytime anybody gives me their business card so that I have a nice network. And so I had looked him up and saw that we had a lot of connections in common, one of which was John Margita, who I'd worked for before and really love and respect. And so I knew, okay, this guy is a guy that I wouldn't mind being associated with. Did some research on the website, and you know, they've been in business 20 years and they've got a nice big team, and they don't just do managed services. They also have a whole team that does cloud, and they have a whole team that does security, and they have a whole team. They have 15 vehicles on the road with GPS that's, you know, techs going in and helping people. And interviewed with the man who's now my boss and the president, and really liked him. And he was genuine and real and down to earth and friendly and excited about the answers I was giving the interview to, the questions he was asking about how I've been able to execute in my demonstrated success in sales roles in the past. And to be honest with you, I kind of thought it was more of a marketing role than a sales role. And I don't know if that's like, this is going to sound weird, but I feel like sometimes the Lord like veils things, because if he didn't, then you wouldn't keep going. And then you realize later, like, wow, it's always been this, but I didn't see it that way at that time. You know what I mean? So I interviewed with them, and then I did a Teams interview with the owner. Really liked him. He, you know, the trickiest part about interviewing after Firestone was, what happened at Firestone? I don't know. Then they're like, you're lying. You know what I mean? You probably did a crappy job. Nobody loses their job within 6 weeks unless they were sucking at it, you know, and that kind of thing. And so he asked me what happened at Firestone. And I said, I honestly don't know. I said, you know, they're a corporation and they decided it wasn't working out. And that's the only answer that I have. And he was like, yeah, I'm a member there. I know how they do things. I get it. And I was like, oh, thank God. And I did in my follow-up email say, you know, the membership girl is one of my best girlfriends, and she was there with me during that time. If you want to ask her candidly how it went, you know, you're more than welcome to call her, which they did. And so I was grateful for that. Really liked it. And so anyway, they ended up offering me the job. And so got a start date and went and started, and they put me in a little corner like desk with a monitor and a docking station and a laptop. And I was sharing a little area with Caitlin, who's our dispatch, and she's a sweetheart. And then there's six or seven other offices in there. And we had marketing girls, sales people, and accounting down there. And it was difficult for me because I was facing the corner with my back to the entire room. First of all, Daddy always said, never sit with your back to the room. Always sit with your back to the wall in the seat where you can see the entire room and have a path to the exit if you needed to in an emergency. So that's going against everything that he taught me. Also, never hold your cards with your back to the wall if there's a mirror on the wall. And so I would go into the office, and when I used to take piano lessons, my shoulders would go up like this. And the lady that taught us would go like this, you know, and then I'd go like this. And I felt like every day when I went into the office, my shoulders would go up and they would just stay up there all day because I just had this anxiety of not knowing someone coming up from behind. Because I'll just say real briefly that in the situation with my domestic violence, I had, it was when mom left dad and dad was getting sick and life was hard, and it was the most traumatic time in my life. I mean, we were like on the palace and all of a sudden we were in rags as far as life was concerned. And so he came home one night and kind of never left and just started moving his things in little by little. And I didn't realize at the time that there was such a thing as a narcissist. And it took a long time to figure out that that's what I was in. And that's a very difficult thing to get out of because they stick their fingers in your brain and make it like spaghetti, and reality is outside the realm. Anyway, long story short, we had a bad night one night. And when I came home, he had come from behind and grabbed me by the hair and was planning on dragging me up the steps that way. And fortunately, I had had enough foresight to have two of my buddies that had been where I had been that night follow me home. And gratefully, they had waited long enough outside. And by the grace of God, I was right by the garage door opener and was able to push the button. It was just all divine timing, the way that that did not end up going. And those boys came in and restrained him. And then I got a restraining order and then kept going back and leaving and going back and leaving over the course of 8 full years. And during that time, an organization in town called Victims Assistance helped me with the restraining order and came to the court dates with me in case he was there, and coached me and counseled me and really helped me. So this was creating a lot of anxiety for me, having my back to the room, but I was so new. One, I didn't want to share that I had had that experience with these people. And two, I didn't want to make any waves either. So I was just doing it. And I'm making my calls too. And the whole room, you know, they're talking, you can hear it in the background. I sound like I'm at a call center. And I was like, I hate when that happens to me when someone calls, even if it's something I do want to buy. So I kept finding other ways to express, like, this face is not ideal for the job I'm doing or for me. You know, it's not about, I need a fancy office. It's like, this is not working. So I can just work from home. You know what I mean? I don't need to be here, but I'm learning this industry and I do kind of need to be there to pop in my boss's office and ask questions or have him come and help me with things and whatever. So anyway, it got to the point where he was realizing this really isn't that great for the role that you're playing, to be in this corner when there's a lot of noise or people walking behind and you're on a Zoom meeting or whatever. And I got to meet the owner. There's two owners, a husband and a wife, and I had not met or talked to the wife, and she was in one day. And so I got the chance to meet her and just, you know, thank you for the opportunity. I'm really enjoying it. You know, really proud to represent you guys. And she's like, we're loving everything you're doing and I'm going to get you an office, I promise. I said, oh, that'd be great. That we're just starting a new year. That'd be awesome, you know? And the next day my boss said, we're going to move this person here and we're going to move you there. And I said, awesome. So excited. And I said, if possible, would you be able to make it so that my computer faces out into the room? Because it gives me anxiety to have my back to the room. And he said, no, we can't do that because of the way the desk is set up or whatever. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. And I thought, all right, well, we'll have to figure it out another day or another way. I trust you, Lord. And I had reached out to Victims Assistance because they're a member of some of the chambers that I was calling on. And obviously passionate about what they do and hadn't heard back, just to offer a free IT evaluation, which is always what we do. And the girl had not called me back, and I had mailed her a free IT evaluation with a cover letter that was returned because I sent it to an old address they had moved from. And then I was at the Athena Akron meeting, and the girl came up to me and she said, "Hey, I'm Evie from Victims Assistance. You called me." I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, "That's so funny. I mailed you something too, and it came back." She said, "Oh, you probably put the Furnace Road address on there. We're on South Main Street now." I said, "Oh, that's great." I said, "You know, do you need our help?" And she said, "I don't think so, but I'll find out. And if you want to just come and tour our new space, we'd love to have you do that." And I said, "Great, let me know." You know, hoping I could kill two birds with one stone. And so she said, "This day, this time," and I was already going to be down there for something else. I like to, that's another thing about organizing is the schedule. I remember in college, real quick, I always made it so that all my classes were in the same block of time and in the same area of campus. So I think there was only one or two times that it wasn't that way, where it wasn't like class at 10, class at noon, class at 2, and they're all on East Green, you know? I remember mom saying, "If you performed as well in your classes as you did at scheduling them, you would be a straight A student." And I'm still that way. Like, we lived at the bottom of the hill, Jeff Hill at OU freshman year. And my friend Melissa would always want to go up the hill for what, at lunch. And I'd already been up the hill and done my thing and gotten everything I needed and came back down. And she was like, "Hey, do you want to go up?" And I'm like, "Nope, already went up the hill once today. I'm done." And I'm like that, you know, when I run my errands, same as you, in the order of, you know, least resistance. So anyway, she said, "Sure, come on down." And so I confirmed that. And she said, "I talked to our girl. We just signed a contract with somebody, or we're not in a position to do IT. I just want to let you know that before you come down. If you don't want to come anymore, that's fine." And I said, "No, it's fine." I said, "Whenever you're ready, we can help. And if you're never ready, that's okay. I would really love to see your facility." And so I went down, and boy, I lost count of how many computers there were. They've got so many offices and so many volunteers and advocates. And I just kept being like, "How can we help? You know, what can we do?" And they have their annual event coming up, the Mardi Gras Gala, which is, I guess, a really awesome, fun time. And they do a silent auction. And I said, "Oh, maybe we'd be able to donate a basket. You know, maybe I'll be able to attend." And I didn't ask her at that time because I didn't want to open my mouth before I had decided with my heart. But I think that I'm going to pursue giving back to that organization because of what they have sown into me, because it's been long enough now that I wouldn't say you never fully heal. I wouldn't say, but you know, I have no contact with that person. And when people ask anything about it, I say, "I don't want to talk about it." Cause whenever you do, all of a sudden that person shows up, I'm not even talking about it. You know what I mean? Don't speak his name. And that took a long time to process and do. But so when I got back from the appointment and I talked to my boss, I always tell him, "Here's who I met, here's what happened, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "You know, I'd like for us to donate a basket." I said, "I've kind of debated on whether or not to share this with you, but I just want to let you know that the reason that I don't like having my back to the room is because I'm a domestic violence survivor. And my particular instance involved someone coming from behind at me." I said, "And I know we have security at the doors and no one's going to be doing that. But PTSD and anxiety are strange little monsters that create things that are not necessarily in reality in your heart and in your feelings." And he was like, "No, I totally get that. That would be something that triggers you." And so we made it so that my laptop is on this side. So, and my phone is here. So I still kind of do, but for the most part, I'm like perpendicular to the door, which is better. So I just want to share that, you know, I think once you have found a good job where you feel like you're being used, which you used to always say, "Emily, you're a salesperson. You are a dog with a bone. You know, you are a salesperson." I was like, "Nah, no such thing as sales without marketing." And, you know, I did sell $1 million in machine knives and tools and steel toe boots to an old boys network. I'd say that's probably a sales girl. And here I am again in the men's industry. And so I met someone on Friday morning at a networking event I was at that I had seen across the room at a couple other events, but didn't get a chance to meet her. And she's a journalist for a publication that they send them to businesses. she said, I'm looking for an event planner. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to think if I know one. I said, I'll go on my LinkedIn and look for you. What's the next article? And she said, women in men dominated fields. I said, that's me, pick me. I said, I've done manufacturing, I'm doing IT. And she's like, oh, that'd be great. So I might be doing that in the next month or two, which is cool. And, you know, I've always been very rigid, and you know this, about keeping my business life business and my personal life personal. And I don't really cross over that. Like, I have some colleagues that I will see at a chamber meeting and also drink a beer with at Whitey's, but I can count them on two hands, and I have thousands of connections. And I feel like this year it's starting to blur a little, because this role is so perfectly tailored to what I was uniquely created to do. So they hired me. I mean, he's all but said they hired me for my connections because of my networking in the community and the people I know. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That's what I've been doing this whole time. So whether it was Firestone or my first job at Berkey Brendel Sheline, which the victim's assistance uses Chad Crawford and Danae Labaki from Berkey Brendel Sheline days and their marketing firm to do their marketing. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. They're my buddies. We started out together, you know, good for you. You always look back and think like, why did I have that job at Boxes Plus? You know, well, because the people you met there, you know, are... it's the people. And so, you know me, it's all about relationships. It's all people. It's all love. It's all experiences and celebrations and entertaining and listening and pressing into giving them advice if they need or taking them a meal or whatever it is. That's what I'm all about. And so as I started, you know, they gave me a list of 1,000 people to call that this guy before me had called and hung up and called and hung up. And, you know, he was just trying to get his 60 calls a day in. And we get the Weatherhead 100 award. And I said, great. Do we know who won last year? Or how do we find out who else is winning? And the owner was like, great idea. We can call him. We can LinkedIn him. We can do this. And so I did that and I figured it out and I got a whole spreadsheet going and I went to LinkedIn and do I know anybody or does this person know anybody so that we could, you know, really get the most out of that night of those awards, and then sent them each a congratulations. And here's a free IT evaluation. Good for 2023. If you need us, call us. And then one of the companies is owned by Pat Partridge's nephew, Nick Partridge. And so I met with him. Well, he has a dental practice that helps dental practices with their business needs. And I don't know that they have an IT partner. And so I told my, after I talked to Pat, I told my boss and the owner, I said, you know, I don't know if this is going to come to fruition or not, but this isn't just about Five Lakes Dental Solutions. This is about every dental practice they help. And there are thousands of them nationwide. We need to get with this guy. And they're like, great, you know, and then we need to join this chamber and here's the event. Great. Do it. What else? You know, do what you need to do. The owner said, do what you need to do to be successful. You know, just keep us in the loop. And so pretty much every expense I've asked for, whether it's a chamber thing or an event or a basket or whatever, they say yes. And so about a month in, my boss says, you know, we're coming up on a month. I just really want you to get like 2 appointments a month. He's like, they don't have to be a win. I just want you to get 2 appointments. I'm like, okay. Well, within that next week, I had gotten 2 sales. And the first sale that I got, you know, he was so affirming and encouraging. He's always speaking life up for me to the owner of what good I'm doing and praise and affirmation and encouragement. And so refreshing in the field I'm in, working for a man, to have that be the experience is awesome. And another confirmation that I'm where I'm uniquely created to be and serving them in a way that they don't. It's like, I remember asking Daddy, you know, what do you do? And he said, I'm a rainmaker, Emmy. I bring the business and they don't know how I'm doing it. And that's what I'm doing for them. They don't think of these creative strategies to build relationship with people who then might want to buy what we have to sell. They just want to buy a list and call.
And don't you also think though, and I think this is true, when you start to feel like you're doing what you're uniquely created to do. I'm 50. I've mentioned it many times. And so, Emily, you are 46, right?
47. Mm-hmm.
47 when they listen to this, because your first episode's coming out on your birthday.
Yay! What a gift.
Yeah, so now it's a couple weeks in, and you should know you are in the midst of Emily's birthday month. Not a day for Emily.
Thank you. Wish me happy birthday month. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday month.
Right.
But I think often we're like, what am I uniquely created to do? What am I uniquely created to do? You know, most businesses are started by people in their 40s and 50s. Mm. Most. Mm. And it's because you have to have lived some life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have some experiences. Like, you could have gotten the same exact job 20 years ago and not had the success mm-hmm. that you have now. Correct. Like, it is the collective experience of your adult life that has given you the networking and the relationships that you have mm-hmm. to be in just such a place and time as this, to now be mm-hmm. capitalizing on that experience and your growth as an employee and your, you know, mm-hmm. just so many things have come together now to set you up so that you can bring more of what is uniquely you mm-hmm. and your life experience to this job for this, you know, for the benefit of yourself and the company and the greater Akron area. And so mm-hmm. I do think that the older you get, the more you start living out your unique purpose for multiple mm-hmm. reasons. One, you've just experienced more of life. And two, you're not trying to impress everybody anymore. Like
mm-hmm. yeah.
in your 20s, you're trying to figure out who you are. In your 30s, you're like, okay, but I can do all the things and I can be great at all the things. In your 40s, you're like, I'm exhausted. So I'm going to try to go deep on these couple of things. And in your 50s, you're like, I don't even care about those things. So I'm not even going to try those things, but this mm-hmm. is my lane over here. Like, you can have that super highway. I just don't even want it. And so you become more choosy about the things that you spend your time doing. So you're around more people that are interested in what you are interested in. And you really mm-hmm. start to get some traction. So I think that there is a layering effect almost mm-hmm. of the, here's what I think. I think everyone has the capacity and the opportunity to do what they're uniquely created to do. I just think that life is so hard and so complex that unless you can kindergartenize it, like mm-hmm. I do, mm-hmm. you get so stuck in the detritus of life, which is a word mm-hmm. that's in the book, The Paper Solution, that I did not write. I remember when I was reading the audio version of The Paper Solution, and I didn't even know how to say the word because I didn't write it. The editor did. The detritus. It's all this quagmire of your life, basically. All of the little niggly things that you have to do. Like, we in our 20s are so idealistic. And then in our 30s, we try to wear all the hats. And then in our 40s, we're just doing all the things and we are just surviving. And if you never take a second to stop and look at what you're doing with your time, you end up just trying to do everything all the time. And you burn yourself out on the stuff that mm-hmm. no one even cares about and no one needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to wake up, like wake up and realize mm-hmm. that you never have to fold laundry again. You never have to match your socks again if you don't want to. If that is what is the thing that is, if that is the straw that is going to break your back, stop doing it, because we need you, especially mm-hmm. as you age. We need you to engage. We need you to press into your uniqueness. We need you to have the capacity of your lived experience to help those that are coming behind you and help your immediate family and community to be able to be ready for what is next. Mm-hmm. And so I think Organize 365 is for every age. Like, we start at, you know, age 7, teach you how to organize your room, all the way to 97, make sure you've got your estate ready for whoever is going to be settling that for you. But really, organization is optional, but you are going to burn out and flame out if you do not have organization from your mid 30s to your early 60s. Like, you just will mm-hmm. crumble under the pressure because mm-hmm. there is just so much that is heaped upon you in that 3 decades, that it is just Herculean to get through them. Mm-hmm. Not that you don't like them. It's just the invisible work that you do between your early 30s to your mid 60s is just, it's unbelievable. It's really mm-hmm. unbelievable.
I think also I'd like to share, you know, because the last podcast that we did, I think I was sharing about how God was kind of removing some relationships that I thought were very important, that I have been just, you know, what's that thing when the monkey puts his hand in the jar of marbles and he can't get his hand out if he won't let go of the marbles. You know what I mean? That's totally been me. And I have realized that season is over. It was lovely, Emily. That was great. You built a lovely neighborhood family. It changed. People moved. Other people came in who don't have the same kind of heart. You know, a lot of tragedies have happened to the people in the group and they've changed. And it's okay. It is okay to let that go. And thank God, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have room for this blurring that's happening of my professional life becoming so important to me personally, as opposed to just making money to pay the bills, to make an impact on the businesses that I'm contacting. Even if they don't want to buy our IT, you need somebody for an event planner for your article. I'm still good. By the end of that meeting, I was in a new member orientation. The first person who went to speak of what she does was an event planner. So when I got up to do my thing, I said, I'm Emily from Quality IP, and here's who you need to call to get in a thing for your event planner. You should join. You know, and so it's just about making a difference and making an impact. And so that's in, I trust you, Lord. You know, this person, these people are leaving. I trust you that the time is over and new will come, and the new can't come until you let the old go. I remember my neighbor, Lisa Ray, who's just gorgeous. She's just gorgeous. And inside and out, she's just got a heart of gold too. But she was with this guy and trying to get out of the relationship, but she couldn't. And she really wasn't happy. And she was trying to break up with them and all this stuff. And I said, why don't you come to my house when you call them? You know, why don't you lay in my bed when you do it? Because then you're never going to have that memory when you are sitting in your living room of like, oh, this is where I had the conversation. I said, I'm baking Christmas cookies all day. Come and break up with them in my bedroom. And she did. And I said, you will never find the man you're supposed to be with if you don't leave him. He's never going to become it. You've tried every way you can to make this silk purse into a sow's ear or whatever that thing is. But until you close this door, the next one isn't going to come. And do you know what happened? Like within a week, somebody she had known at a job she used to have reached out of the blue, and they had never been romantic or anything. And 2 years later, she's married and moved to Maine. You know, it's that you have to close that door for the next thing to come in. And the other thing I'd like to encourage people with is that I've learned not to care what other people think or feel about me living an organized life, if that threatens them, because there are a couple people in that office who I can tell cannot stand the fact that I come in happy, dressed well, excited about the day. And in the beginning, I thought, geez, you know, I haven't even been here yet and they hate me. And I thought, oh, well, so what? I'm just going to still be nice and move on, because it has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with them, their experiences, their feelings about themselves and how they're performing, or that they're not where they're uniquely created to be in this job, or whatever else it is. And I will say every couple of days, I have to retell myself that, you know, because it hurts. But that's a huge, huge growth in this past year of just saying, I'm allowed to let people go. And I'm allowed to not care what me living my life successfully makes them feel like, or how they react to me. It's not my job to fix that.
Well, I think also, you know, our friendships and who we hang out with and what we talk about changes over time. Both just based on like where you live and what you do and, you know, who you hang out with, but also based on our interests. And one of the things that I've noticed over time is obviously I'm going to keep working at Organize 365.
Yes.
I'm going to stay for like 30 more years. So the place that I work is not going to change. And I do believe that I'm uniquely created to create the Organize 365 community space, not by myself, you know, the collective, us collectively, we're all creating it together. That's why it's not called Lisa Woodruff. It's called Organize 365. Mm-hmm. But Lisa Woodruff is continuing to do more things that I'm uniquely created to do. Like you can do more than one. I think it's so rare to find a place that you fit and is so unique to you that you think that you have to find this one. But what you're uniquely created to do is not like a marriage. Like, you're allowed to have more than one thing that you're uniquely created to do. And actually, it's a skill. Like, figuring out what you're uniquely created to do allows you to then do it again and again and again, and to take your own personal learning deeper and deeper. So, as everybody knows, I'm starting on a PhD journey because I feel like I want a seat at the academic table where they're discussing housework, home organization, and home economics. I would like to be there and have input in what is going on. I have now, since I've started on the journey, had this idea that is so big that I will not be able to start implementing it for a couple more years. I can't even start talking about it because as soon as I do, you guys are all going to be like, yes, let's do it tomorrow. And I want to do it tomorrow. And I have to have a PhD in order to do it. So we can't talk about it tomorrow, but we will be talking about it. And also, like, I'm already thinking about, in addition to that, what else is next after the PhD, which sounds crazy for normal humanity, that you would be just starting on a PhD, which I figure is going to take 200 weeks. And I'm already thinking, what am I going to do in week 201? Because as soon as this PhD is over, it is going to create a 30-hour a week vacuum that I already want to be planning what I'm going to be doing with that time. And I know that is unusual thinking. But I also know a lot of people, the handful of people who make the most impact in the world, they think this way. They totally do. While they're doing their one uniqueness, the company that I started, they're creating their next uniqueness, the PhD I'm going to get, and thinking about how those two things together with collaboration are going to make another uniqueness. As that's going on, I have started creating the reality TV show, which is totally different. And my vision for a reality TV show has always been, how do you put on TV functional organizing when it has nothing to do with containers and nothing to do with looking like a magazine when you're done? It's like almost impossible to do, right? Like, because TV as a medium is beautification and, you know, products. How do you do that? And the collaborations I have in mind for doing that. Well, in the fall, I contacted Channel 12 News, and I've been on TV with Sheila Gray before. And we wanted to promote the Holiday Blitz. So we did that. Worked great. I said, can I pitch you again? Yes. I was like, great. Let's do it. Let's do Boxing Day. Let's do, you know, New Year's Eve Day. Nobody wants to be on live TV on those days. They can't fill those days. I'm like, oh, come on. December 26th and December 31st. They're like, booked. You're booked. I mean, all you have to do is have a pulse to get booked on those days. So I went on those days. And I brought my research. And I said, you know, hey, can I pitch you again? And they were like, yeah. Because meanwhile, they had been sleeping in the studio the night before because of the blizzard. Like, I mean, these people are sleep deprived. Can I pitch you for another? Yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to do, Lisa. Fine. I was like, okay, I want to pitch a series. They're like, fine, whatever, you know, just send it up. So I send it. And immediately they reply back, sounds good. See, you know, I'm like, I'll come on Wednesdays. Like, great. See you on Wednesdays. They're like, you know, fill the hole. So I came on air the first Wednesday of the new year. And I was like, okay, I want to talk about research and I want to talk about functional organizing. So I'm going to talk about organizing your bathroom using a silverware drawer for your makeup. You guys can see all of these by going to organize365.com/WKRC. And when I came on to talk about organizing your makeup in a silverware drawer organizer in your bathroom, Sheila says to me, I did the organizing thing with the ornaments. Like you said, I took all the ornaments off of my tree. I got them all in one box. I filled half of a recycling bin full of all the boxes I got rid of. What do you have next? And I was like, wow, game on.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then the next week I talked about organizing your family and communal spaces. And I'm like, Lisa, you cannot do a whole first floor of a house in 3.5 minutes on air. You're going to have to like get down to basics. So I did. All right, we'll just talk about the kitchen. I'm like, okay, well, what is unique to Organize 365? And what is functional organizing that you could put on TV that is going to work? And so I did the cereal basket. I did the drink. I know you can hear Hunter. I did the drink cabinets. And sure enough, people start sharing on Instagram. I did it. I made a drink cabinet. I did this. I was like, okay. as we were ending that segment, which went 5 minutes, which is like unheard of on TV that they let you go 5 minutes, Sheila says to me, that is the best segment ever. I cannot wait to see what you're going to do next week. And I thought, all right, game on. Now we're showing in a professional setting that we could do functional organizing that is going to get people organized without having super special containers or a beautiful picture at the end, but truly functional organizing. So this will have already aired by the time this podcast airs. So my idea, I said, as they're wheeling my table out, I said to the stage guy, I said, next time I'm coming with a bookshelf. Is that going to be a problem? He's like, no, sounds great. Can't wait to see it. So I'm bringing a plastic shelving unit, storage shelving unit, and a big sign. So we're going to have like a big poster that's going to show you like a terrible storage room, and I'm going to move it, like move this bus. And then all of a sudden you're going to see this Home Depot storage unit. And it's really stretching me. My unique gift is to teach functional organizing, because organizing is an inside game. It's all how you feel. It has nothing to do with what it looks like on the outside. So now my challenge is, how do I take that definition of organization and that feeling of organization and parlay it into the TV media space so that functional organizing can become something that you see on television, because it is how you truly get organized.
And so that's what I'm working to do. It privately.
Oh, okay, great. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when organization gives you time and your mental capacity back, productivity increases your capacity for impact. Currently, my capacity for impact is impacting the Organize 365 team members and audience. Getting a PhD in order to get myself a seat at the table and expand where I can impact there. Working on my media skills and my media reel for a potential TV show. Becoming a great grandmother. Not great grandmother, a good grandmother. Grayson's not having children yet, just so you know. You know, in a multi-generational family where I feel like I am being the most intentional wife, mother, and grandmother at the same time as I can be while I am growing a company and getting a PhD and working on what is next. And the thing I didn't even tell you about, all of these simultaneously. And I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not. And that is because I continually am increasing my capacity, but also all of these things I'm doing are externalized. I'm not trying to hold any of them in my brain. When I'm doing schoolwork, I'm only doing schoolwork. When I'm working in Organize 365, I'm only working in Organize 365. When I'm working on just these segments on WKRC or taking 5 hours a week, I am only working on those. I'm not thinking about any other role that I play. I am fully present in the role that I am in, knowing that when I get to the other role, everything that I need is ready for me to dive into that one too.
Mm-hmm. And that's what an organized life feels like.
Yes. Yes.
It's awesome. I'm excited to see what happens next.
I know, it's so exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
So I loved when we were talking on Friday night, just to wrap this up, you were talking about, you know, you have a job now. And you're already organized, and you were talking about the things that you are now doing to increase the uniqueness that is Emily Kelly. Mm-hmm. And it was being able to give back in a positive way in the domestic violence situation, being able to bring all of you and all of your experiences to your new job, being able to recognize that some friendships are only for a season. And then you're moving into new friendships. But I would love it if you would finish off by just your self-care and your leveling up the grace that you're giving yourself. Mm-hmm. And you are an amazing person as you are today. You do not need to change a thing. Mm-hmm. But also, there are things that you are working on changing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I'm sure there's a famous person that said it, but I know Daddy said it often. To whom much is given, much is also required. And so I think, you know, you are more intensely than me, but I am more intensely by 1,000 than anyone else I know. Always pursuing excellence, always pursuing transformation, always trying to avail ourselves of all the resources available to us and others that we know, you know, being connectors and such a good researcher, you know. And I think it's our responsibility to do that, you know, if you have the ability. I think when you get to heaven and you have to answer for all that you were given and what you did with it, you want to make sure that you've made that effort to the best of your ability as much as you are able, you know. And I was thinking when you were sharing about all you're doing about the spoon theory, which I think just recently there was something on the social media about that, because that's, I really enjoyed that podcast and understanding that theory, you know. So I think I would say to someone who's listening, who's like, holy crap, these Kelly girls, oh my gosh, I couldn't possibly compare. It's okay to, you know, do with what you have the best that you can with what you've been given. And you might have been given less, whether that's financially or physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, relationally, whatever those things are. And so give yourself grace and do what you can with what you have where you're at. And that's all that is required. But it's a joy to be able to contribute. I think, you know, have also having a teaching degree in addition to my business experience. You said kindergartenizing it. I kindergartenize my sales pitches. You know, I make sure that, you know, Daddy always said, talk to them like they're 5 years old, but don't make them feel like they're 5 years old. You know, break it down so small that they can understand it, but so they don't feel like you're patronizing them. And so that's another part of the journey that fits in that I think, gosh, you know, people who are salespeople but never learn how to teach are really at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? So just using all of those experiences and trying to look for the good, the hope, the prospect. I'm famous for always saying, here's what's going to happen next. And people laugh at me. But it's even, you know, if I know I'm going to lunch with somebody tomorrow, I'm going to look at the menu tonight so I can tell my belly what we're having at noon, you know? And I think one thing that you shared with me at one point, I can't remember how it came up or what we were talking about, but it was successful people never eat lunch alone. I think, was that you?
No, that's a book. Never Eat Lunch Alone or something like that.
Yeah. But that's a good one too. You know, I don't even want, I wish I could just work 9 to 5 through my lunch and eat at my desk like I used to do with you, because I don't want to sit around and twiddle my thumbs for an hour at lunchtime. You know, I got stuff I got to do, you know? So just finding that passion and igniting that passion, whatever it is, however small it starts, you know, those mustard seeds can make a big, big impact, you know, if we partner them with faith and hope and belief.
Yeah. And I think there are,
my sum up.
I think there are a lot of great examples of athletes that push themselves mm-hmm. farther than you ever thought that they could. And then that mm-hmm. becomes an example of what is possible. And I guess that is what I am trying to do in this podcast and in this company and in this world, is saying, look, I know that the example we see on TV or in the media or in books or on social media says that, you know, we have to do all of these things every week, or that we have to accept today what we saw modeled to us in the past. And I want to be an example of increasing your capacity as a human, like in your household and in your desires and in your ambitions, that is not related to your job. It's not related to athletics. It's not related to anything else. And I will be recording in the future, coming up soon here, how I have increased my energy over time. When I started Organize 365, I had the capacity to work hard until 11 a.m. And then I had lunch and then I had a nap and then the rest of the day got away from me. And now I literally can wake up and I can go through a school day all the way until 11 p.m. And I do give myself a 40-minute rest. But other than that, I am always on and I'm always going. And I have more energy and more focus at 50 than I did at 38. And that was purposeful mm-hmm. over time. I have continued to refine what I eat, when I eat, how much caffeine mm-hmm. I have, how much sleep, all those things. Like I mm-hmm. have just studied myself to the point where I now can work 60, 70 hours a week in paid work and also do my housework. And it does not feel like a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible.
I think it's because you're passionate about what you're doing. Like, I'm the farthest thing from a morning person. You of all people know that. But to be in Kent by 8 means that I have to leave at 7:25 at the latest. I like to give myself 10 minutes in case there's an accident or whatever. So that's 7:15, which means I need to be in the shower at 6:30, which means I need to tell myself it's time to get up at 5:30. So I'm actually getting up at 6:30. And I just thought, this is going to be such an uphill climb. But 8 weeks in, it's becoming natural.
Yep. And I used to go to bed between 8.
You go to bed earlier.
Yeah. I used to go to bed till 8 and 9. And now I'm going to bed between 10, 11 or 11:30. And so I set my alarm. I'm allowed to sleep in more in the morning, but so far I've been able to wake up on time. So it is switching based on different seasons of life. When you're a morning person, when you're an evening person, moving those things. But there are a lot of things that you can do that will increase your energy and capacity. We just don't think about them or we haven't tried them because who's talking about it? Nobody's talking about it.
True.
Yeah. Everybody's tired and exhausted, and you're tired and exhausted too. So you must be doing it right. No, we could change it.
Right. I agree.
But it takes time. It has taken me a decade to go from being able to produce about 20 to 30 hours a week to being able to produce 70 to 80.
Wow.
And I love it. Greg's like, can you ever stop doing things? I'm like, why? No, it's not a thing for me.
Productivity is addictive.
Oh my gosh, it's so great, isn't it?
But then you realize how many people are not addicted to it.
Yes. Yes.
But I love it. Always do one more thing.
Well, Emily, 3 episodes.
3 hours. Yes. One Sunday afternoon. This has been fun. And I was just thinking, I see you in your Bengals shirt and I'm going to be rooting for them tonight when we're recording this to go all the way. And when this airs, we'll find out if they did.
Right. We will. We will. I'm just going to give a little shout out for the Bengals having been in Cincinnati.
Yes, not
for
their, you should.
Not for their athletic ability, but you know, when DeMar Hamlin had his cardiac arrest on the field in Cincinnati and he was taken away by ambulance and the NFL gave the teams 5 minutes to start playing again. Zach Taylor, who is the coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, is the one who walked across the field. And he talked to the coach and he said, we're going to send all our players into the locker rooms. Like, we're not going to sit here. We're going to send our players in the locker rooms. So they went in their locker rooms. And as soon as they got in their locker rooms, Joe Burrow, who's the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, gathered the captains of all the different special teams. And they went into the Bills locker room and they talked to the players and they went back to Zach Taylor. And he then went out and he went to the NFL and he went to the other coach and they had the conversation and they said they were not going to play. And the reason I say that is because the Bengals did not need to do that. The Bengals were affected, but not to the effect that the Bills were. And the Bengals, it was their game to win or lose. They were winning that game. We don't know how it would have turned out. It would have changed the standing. And that is the way Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor are. And that is the way the Bengals have always been. This team is doing what this team is doing because they are living with no regrets. Zach Taylor's wife is the one that coordinated all the food at the hospital. She coordinated 40 different schools, writing cards and sending it down to the hospital. She coordinated all of that long after he checked out of the hospital and everything. It was the only thing that was on her social media and the only focus that the Bengals had. And so I think that that is just such a great example. You know, I'm not a sports person. You know, I'm not a sports person at all. But that is a great example of how we all want to live our lives, that we have no regrets. And I live my life with no regrets. Things that I do and say and how purposeful I am, I weigh the consequences. I have said to Greg, if this PhD is too hard for our family because of the amount of time it is going to take, I know I can get a PhD. But if it impacts our family too much, I will stop. I will. And then just all of a sudden, Lisa's not getting a PhD and I will share why. But if it impacts mm-hmm. Greg and Abby and Grayson too much, I will stop. I'm not going mm-hmm. to do it no matter what, because I want to live my life with no regrets. And whether the Bengals make it to the Super Bowl or win or don't, or the Bills or whoever it is, it will not matter to Joe and Zach, because they will never have a regret for what they did on that day and mm-hmm. how they performed in the game mm-hmm. of life, not mm-hmm. in the game of football. And so I just, mm-hmm. I love when you see examples of real life enactment of living with integrity and purpose versus mm-hmm. for a finite goal in a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will I get a PhD in 4 years? Maybe. Right now I'm saying I will. But if it impacts the game of life and my family, I won't. And so you need mm-hmm. to chase after your dreams. Go after what you're uniquely created to do. Go full out and look at the people in your immediate sphere around you. Bring as many of them as you can with you. They will not all come with you, but bring as many as you can with you. And then if what you thought was your path, like Emily thought it was Firestone, isn't, then it doesn't mean that it's a failure. It just means that it's a pivot. Mm-hmm. And Pat likes to say, my executive assistant likes to say, that we pivot so much around here at Organize 365, it looks like we're dancing. And mm-hmm. so we should be dancing. Like, you are dancing. Mm-hmm. You're dancing in the game of life. You're constantly pivoting, changing, moving. It's life. The only mm-hmm. way you can do it wrong is if you try to stop it or freeze time, because it's impossible. And then you're just mm-hmm. really, you have so much anxiety and frustration, because why are things not staying the way they used to be? Like, life mm-hmm. keeps moving forward. Go with the mm-hmm. current. So anyway, Emily, you know, I've loved the time.
Me too.
You know, we're going to have to do it again. So I don't know when we'll do it again, but when we have something to say, we will come back for one or multiple episodes.
For as long as I live, I'm in it with you, sis.
I love you, Emmy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.